Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, October the 22nd. And quite a day, really quite a day after, I should say, because President Biden was on CNN last night. They had what they call a town hall meeting. And there's a story today of how the White House is cleaning up everything that, or many of the things that President Biden said last night. And look, this is why they don't let him talk to the press. I mean, this is why they keep him away from the press. I mean, why else would you keep a president like this from the media? This is why. This is why the man is nothing but a walking gaffe machine. It's unbelievable. Every time he speaks and he's not reading a script, the people at the White House have to be terrified of what he's going to say. And last night, last night was no different. One of the things that the White House is cleaning up is that last night he said something about using the National Guard, I guess, to expedite the delays at the L.A. port and stuff like that. And I think they came back today saying, no, the White House came out today and said, no, we're not thinking of using the National Guard to do that. Well, the first problem is he would have to federalize the National Guard in California because that's the place where the National Guard would be used. So he would have to persuade the governor of California that he needs to do that using California's National Guard. The other problem is, as we're learning more and more about what's happening out there in California, part of the problem is that apparently these labor unions have restrictions as to how long these guys can work, and that's part of the problem with what's out there. But again, it is amazing to me how they have to come out and clean up after this guy. Well, this is why you don't let him do press conferences anyway. I bet by now you must realize that I'm going to talk about President Obama at CNN. Yes, I mean President Biden at the CNN. But he said a couple of other things, though, that I think were very interesting and that we need to go over. The first one is somebody was asking him about gasoline prices. And President Biden said, well, you know, there's really nothing I can do about it. Nothing I can do about it in the short term. Well, that's not really true. And then he also said that he may have to release some barrels of oil from what we call the National Reserve, which is, I guess, a place where we have millions and millions of barrels of oil in case of an emergency. Obviously, you've got to have oil to run your tanks and your airplanes and so on. Now, I've heard about this reserve before, not the first time I've heard about it, but I don't know exactly where it is, where this reserve is. So anyway, I would assume that there is some place in a very safe place, millions of barrels of oil that we use, but I don't know where it is. It's kind of interesting. I've always had that question, you know, where do we keep this oil? But the reality is that the president can do a lot to bring down the price of oil, just like he can do a lot to increase the price of oil. What happened in 2021, President Biden came in, immediately shuts down a pipeline of oil coming from Canada, a pipeline that was supplying, obviously, a lot of oil in the United States. He then starts going after exploration of oil. So he starts going after the people who look and explore oil. Well, the consequence of all of this is that you're going to affect supply. And now you have a situation where more people are going back to work. You know, the economy is starting to come back. Well, more people are driving. They need to pay more for the gasoline. So you have a mismatch between supply and demand. So if he wants to bring down the price of oil, he can do it very easily by simply letting the American economy and American oil come in and fill in the problem. He doesn't have to, you know, we don't have to tell the Saudi Arabians to pump more oil. We don't have to do anything about the National Reserve. We just bring back the Trump policies that had gasoline prices at $2.10 a gallon in January. Now, the other thing too, and this didn't come up in the town hall meeting, but I wish it had, because one of the things when you mess with gasoline prices, one of the things that President Trump understood very clearly is that there is a connection between the price of oil, the price of gasoline, and the prosperity of the middle class. When a middle-class family is paying $2.10 a gallon, they obviously have a lot more money in their pockets than when they're paying $3 a gallon. That extra 90 cents is coming out of, obviously, the budget for something else. The other thing is when the price of gasoline goes from $2.10 to $3, as we have witnessed here in Texas, that's what happened here in Texas, and I know the price is even higher in other places. Well, that's going to drive up everything. Everything is up. The price of food, everything goes up because everything obviously gets around because of gasoline and trucks and so on. So not only is the price of oil going up, the price of gasoline going up, but everything that impacts the middle class budget, the middle class family budget, is going up too. So it's a total disaster for the middle class family when you fool around with the price, when the price of gasoline. The other thing that President Biden said last night, which I think is going to come back to bite him, is when he said that we would defend Taiwan if China attacked Taiwan. He's going to regret that. I'm not saying that we shouldn't defend Taiwan, but we shouldn't be putting our cards on the table as to what we would do. We should simply say, we don't talk about that, which is what presidents have always done. We don't talk about our options. Everything is on the table, but we don't talk about our options. And I think when the president makes a commitment like that, that we will act, he is not only getting himself in trouble with the Congress, because the Congress has not authorized military action in Taiwan, but he's also getting in trouble with the American people, because the American people have not been updated about Taiwan. The American people don't know what a Taiwan operation could look like. We could be, you know, sending, this could be like the Gulf War of 1991, where we're sending 100,000 troops into war. I mean, this could be huge, a huge military commitment on the part of the United States, and the American people have not been told this. You know, back in 91, the first Bush spent much of the pre-war time frame talking about Kuwait and why it mattered. Later in 2002, 2003, the second Bush spent a lot of his time talking about Iraq and why it mattered. None of that has happened here. So the American people have no clue, have no understanding of why their sons are going to have to go to Taiwan and fight a war. That's pretty scary, not only from a military standpoint, but from a political standpoint. You don't want to surprise the American people with an involvement in Taiwan that they have not been prepared for. This is not an emergency like Pearl Harbor or 9/11. This is a war that you would be preparing for, much like Iraq. And if you don't prepare the American people, you're going to have a lot of political problems executing that policy. So bad idea to talk about options in Taiwan before talking to the American people. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Again, that was not a good town hall meeting last night for President Biden. The other thing, too, that is becoming very obvious to anybody watching is that this is a man who is, let's say, showing the fact that he's 79 years old. He's going to be 79 years old in a month or so, and he's showing every bit of it. And I don't know how much longer this can continue. He does not look like he is on top of things, and he looks like he's 79. We usually don't have presidents that old. That's not usually the age of a president, and he's starting to look a lot like, you know, your uncle or your dad who's starting to show his age. And that's not good when you're the president of the United States. Another story this week that was very interesting, the Attorney General went before the Congress to talk about a lot of different things. And he really got caught up a little bit in this whole, this whole story about using the FBI to go after parents. It turns out that the Attorney General was apparently responding to a letter that somebody had written him rather than any specific evidence that there was any violence at these meetings. And I didn't think he looked very good, honestly, answering some of these questions. He looked a bit like a man who was unprepared and a man who didn't anticipate some of these questions, and especially when they started talking about that incident in Virginia where the young woman was raped in a girl's bathroom by a guy who was wearing a skirt. He didn't look very good at that. He didn't look good. So I think overall, there's two things you can say about the Attorney General before Congress. He wasn't that well prepared. I mean, he was just reading talking points. And the other thing you can say about him is, aren't you glad now that Mitch McConnell went out of his way to keep this man out of the Supreme Court? I mean, Mitch McConnell must have known something about this man because he does not look like the kind of guy that I would like to see in the Supreme Court. He looks more and more like a very partisan attorney general, and that's all I can say for this man. You know, former Secretary of State Rice, Condoleezza Rice, was on The View, the program The View. Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I don't watch The View. Never have. It's not a show that I watch. So when I find out about The View, it's because somebody puts up a clip on the internet or somebody says, look, watch this interview or whatever. I find The View to be, honestly, a pretty bad program. It's just not something I would enjoy watching. Anyway, I don't watch it, so I'll just put that up front. But I do enjoy some of the clips that they show from time to time just to see what they're talking about. And somebody put up a clip of Secretary Condoleezza Rice talking about, you know, critical race theory. And, you know, this is a woman who grew up in the South. As she said, you know, she grew up in the segregated South. She couldn't go see a movie with her parents in the segregated South. And yet she has, you know, she's risen to the challenge. She's obviously an extremely qualified person, extremely well-educated person who was able to overcome these things. And I thought the way she explained what's happening in the country about race was so beautiful. She said, look, I want every black young person out there to feel empowered and to feel, you know, completely capable of doing whatever they want to do. But I'm not going to do that by bringing down white people. I'm not going to do that by telling, you know, black people that, hey, this black kid over here hates you, and creating more dissent and more hatred between the races. I thought she was absolutely spectacular. I'm paraphrasing, of course, some of the things that she said. But you ought to watch that clip. It's going around quite a bit. But I thought she gave the perfect answer for this debate about race. Yeah, it's okay to talk about race, but let's not make race everything, because it's not. It really isn't. It isn't really everything. There's a lot of other things that go into people who succeed and people who fail. It's not all about race. There's other things that come into play. So you ought to watch that clip. I thought she was absolutely marvelous. Well, on this day in history, 1962, October 22nd, 1962, President Kennedy went to the nation to talk about a matter of urgency, and it was the Cuban Missile Crisis. He told the nation that there were missiles in Cuba and that he was going to do something about it. They had a blockade of Cuba, and for the next 10 or 12 days, we came about as close to having a nuclear war as we had ever come. And I was living in Cuba at the time. I was a kid in Cuba at the time, and I remember it quite well. I think it was my mother who said, if they start shooting missiles, we're the first ones to go. And that's exactly right. We would have been the first ones to go. Well, the Cuban Missile Crisis on this day, 1962. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.